Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole. How are you doing?
Not dead, but you sound like you're almost dead.
I have company, so I'm in like a different headspace right now. I can't be my normal boisterous self.
Yeah. Oh, you're so boisterous.
And my niece is here, so I gotta watch my language.
You can't even say fuck a lot? Do you want me to double up on fucks to cover it for you?
Yeah, if you want to.
Okay, fucking yeah.
Yeah. We can get Purnell to do it.
We could.
Right, Purnell?
Fucking yeah!
That's right, Purnell.
You can always rely on Purnell.
Oh, man. So, let's see. We got a show to do.
Uh-huh.
But before we get to that, did you see my new toys?
No.
On Facebook?
Oh, no. I haven't been on other than to check messages.
What'd you're tagged.
Do? Oh! I did see that pop up. Let me see. The lip balm.
Yep, we have lip balm.
That is so cool.
We have wet pancake flavored lip balm with Norg's face on it.
That's incredible.
I'm going to look into what the best way is to ship this stuff because I don't want it to melt in the summer heat.
Yeah. That's so I issue. Might like wait. I ordered a succulent the other day, and those are meant to be like dried out,
yeah,
and tolerate heat. And one of the two were dead. Jeez. And I was like, "Yeah, it's too hot even for plants that love the desert right now."
Yeah, so maybe wait a few months, and we're gonna probably give a couple away.
That's fantastic.
I got a lot of them, though.
So. Good. I'm glad.
I figured I'd send you a few, send George a few, send Tim a few, send Purnell a few, send Chris a few.
You get wet pancakes, and you get wet pancakes, and everybody's getting wet pancakes!
Wet pancakes for everybody. You want to know what else is for everybody?
What's for everybody?
Games with Gold and PlayStation Plus.
Well, they're not for everybody. They're only for people with Games with Gold or PlayStation Plus.
But if you have it, then you're part of everybody.
Okay. But if you don't have gold or plus, then you're not everybody.
Yeah, then you don't matter.
Oh.
Well, I figure you have to have one of the two if you're listening to this show.
I don't know. After all these years of talking about Game Pass and then other people on the show going, but I don't have Game Pass. I don't believe in any of that anymore. I'm like, these people don't know a good deal when they see it rubbing on their faces.
Yeah, true.
It's terrible.
But hey, we're getting some free games for July.
Yes.
We dive into them?
We should.
All right. Xbox, games with gold for July. Xbox One, we are getting Planet Alpha and Rock of Ages 3.
Okay.
Which...
Is Planet Alpha new?
I don't think so.
Oh. When I saw it, I was like, I feel like I've heard of it before, but I don't remember anybody playing it, so it must be new.
I mean, we don't cover everything on the show.
We cover like 99.99999% though.
We're close. We have our moments. Yeah. And then backward compatible, we are getting Conquer Live and Reloaded and Midway Arcade Origins, which I think that one is totally worth it.
I find Conquer a little funny because every time you're on an Xbox thread, they're like, we need a new Conquer! And then they're like, this is the best you get.
Project Spark was the best we got. Remember that game?
Yes, I do. I played like 20 minutes of it.
Really? I played a lot of it.
I wanted to play more, and then it fell to the side, however you want to say it. Listen, I'm very hyped up on medication this week.
So this will be a fun one.
We are floating by the best we can.
We are not even, like, we're...
Yeah.
PlayStation Plus.
Yeah. Awesome. No.
They're getting Call of Duty Black Ops 4.
I am not surprised, because Activision is so far up PlayStation's ass.
And then WWE Battlegrounds.
Okay.
That's a cool one.
Oh, was that a good one? I thought that, which one was the one that sucked so bad?
The numbered ones.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I thought Battlegrounds was really good.
Once you say wrestling, they're all the same to me.
No, this one's a fun one. This is like an arcade brawler.
Okay.
It's good.
That's fair.
It's good stuff. And then, of course, they're having another month of Virtual Fighter 5 Ultimate Showdown because of that special deal.
Okay.
And then, on PS5, they're getting A Plague Tale Innocence.
Kind of surprised by that, but also not surprised. Plague Tale's great. Yeah. I want more people to play it. Especially with the second one coming out.
Now, if you have a PS5, you can play it. And it's only the PS5 version. No PS4.
So, like, a whole four people.
Yeah. let's see. In addition to Kazuya joining the Smash Ultimate roster, some new Mii costumes are available for about $1 each. Did you see any of these?
I did.
From Tales of Symphonia.
Okay.
Dragonborn from Skyrim.
I saw that one. I didn't see the Tales of Symphonia one, but I don't know who that is anyway. So
Dante from Devil May Cry.
Yeah.
I'm guessing you enjoyed that one.
I had a good laugh at it because there were some really good memes over it. Both the Dragonborn and Dante had some really good memes around them. People were like, the Dragonborn was Todd Howard's effort to put Skyrim on everything. And like, he basically crested with Smash. And then
play Skyrim and Smash Brothers.
Yeah. And then there was one where somebody had taken that promotional still of Devil May Cry 5, where it's V and Nero and then Dante on the right hand side, and they redrew it. redrew it, but with the Mii version of Dante, and I was like, no.
That was good. One more costume, though.
Yeah.
Dante.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty cool, Shantae.
They could have just put Shantae in the game.
They should have.
Like, this seems like a cop-out. I don't know.
Oh, well. I was hoping for Shovel Knight, too, but he's an assist trophy, but...
Is Shovel Knight not literally in everything, though?
Yes.
Okay.
PlayStation, doing a bit of dealing. They acquired Housemarque.
Yeah, I did see that. And then apparently it was leaked that they had bought Bluepoint 2, but then like nobody verified it.
Yeah, there's been no confirmation about that one. I wouldn't be shocked because Bluepoint is basically a PlayStation studio anyway.
With both of them, I was like, I thought they already owned them.
Yeah.
I didn't know they didn't, so okay.
Yeah. ESRB has a listing for Ghosts of Tsushima Director's Cut for PS4 and PS5, which was finally announced.
Okay. It seems a little weird to me to release a Director's Cut for a game that is already out on a console. Like, that I don't like when they do that.
I don't know.
Just make it an update. Let people have it. They already paid you for that game on that console. Stop it.
Well, apparently the update is fairly beefy. There's like a fairly sizable expansion there. If you want to upgrade your current game to the director's cut, it's $20.
Okay.
And then if you want to upgrade from PS4 to PS5, it's another $10. Yeah.
Smart delivery.
Yeah. Thank you, Xbox.
Blessing, y'all. That's all I'm saying there.
Yeah. So, it was officially announced that Bloober Team and Konami have entered a, quote, strategic partnership. Is the Silent Hill reboot finally happening?
That's the theory. I've never played Silent Hill. I'm not attached to it. So, I don't really care if it's a Silent Hill reboot. I only care to get more games out of Bloober Team because I love them. And I'm concerned because Konami...
Yeah. Konami is not doing good.
And like, I don't want to be hit in the face with this is a PlayStation exclusive. But also, I saw some rumors that maybe Microsoft was backing this.
Who knows? There's also talk that progress is being made in between a deal between Xbox and Hideo Kojima.
Yeah.
And apparently a letter of intent has been signed.
Kojima makes such out there, ridiculous, niche games that somehow hit mainstream. And on one hand, I'd like to see him make one for Xbox because it's fucking PlayStation, you know? But on the other, I'm like, isn't there anybody else we could throw a shit ton of money at?
I don't know. We'll see. It might turn into something good.
Maybe.
Something that's not that good.
I'm down to be surprised.
Yeah. But something that's not that great is the pricing on the Final Fantasy Pixel Remaster series.
Yeah.
Yeah, they announced 1 and 2 are going to be $11.99 each. Not horrible.
Wow. Okay.
3 through 6 will be $18 each. $17.99 each game. Square pricing.
Yeah.
Gotta love it. The first three are going to be releasing July 28th. Not too sure on the other three. The current versions of Final Fantasy V and VI are going to be delisted from Steam. So these Pixel remasters will be the only versions available to get if you don't pick up the awful, awful versions that are available now.
But are they at awful cheap prices?
I don't know. They're on Steam. I don't check Steam prices.
Oh. Well, I guess I could load it up and check myself, couldn't
yeah.
I?
Yeah, you could.
You're gonna make me do shit though. It's like I'm a co-host. God damn. What is it? Final Fantasy V. Go. Why does this pop? Look, it even popped up with an ad for the Pixel Remaster.
Nice.
Pre-purchase now. Final Fantasy V.
Yeah.
Why does it say it's $74.83?
That might be the combo for all the six games.
Okay. This says old version. And it's $15.99.
There you go. So
it's not even cheap. So it just, I guess that may be one that's worth waiting and paying the extra $3 for.
Yeah, those two aren't that good. So
balls.
Yeah. Also, apparently not very good was Magic Legends, which is shutting down October 31st.
My cat's tearing the house apart. They had a beta.
And I that's guess it
went poorly. There's one way to go about that.
They had an open beta and it flopped, and they are shutting down October 31st. They said all purchases made during the open beta period will be refunded. So if you bought into Magic Legends, you will be getting reimbursed. I have potato hiding under my desk because it's thunderstorming.
Oh.
Yeah.
Luna is just bouncing all over things and knocking stuff down because that's what 7-week-old kittens do.
True.
Yeah.
So Remedy signed a co-publishing deal with 505 Games for a multiplayer spin-off for Control.
Why multiplayer? And what the fuck are you going to do multiplayer for Control?
I don't
like, what you try to be one of those what's the word? Asymmetrical multiplayers where like one person's overpowered and then everybody else is like fronts. That's the only thing you could possibly do with that, isn't it? Like, maybe. You can't have 99 people running around with, I got the hiccups, I'm sorry, with telekinesis shit. Spoiler alert. Sorry.
Oh man, but that's the news I have. Anything you want to talk about, or are we speedrunning this baby?
Yeah, we'll speedrun. Nobody likes to hear me talk about Call of Duty anyway.
Well, what Call of Duty news was there?
A website that tracks Blizzard's backend discovered a title card for something called Slipstream. And supposedly, in addition to the Slipstream title card, it was attached to assets that were labeled Call of Duty 2021. And also to a piece of code that referred to 4A, F-O-R-E-A, and that was tied to COD2021.exe.
Hmm.
Now, the guy who runs this site is the only person that's seen this shit, right?
Okay.
So take that with a healthy dose of skepticism. However, Charlie Intel, which is the Twitter account that does a whole bunch of Call of Duty news and stuff, they had also tweeted out last night that they saw that it was reported that there was slipstream information on the PlayStation 4 store backend as well. And so it's possible that this slipstream may be the event that leads into the Call of Duty 2021 reveal, and maybe even the alpha.
We'll find out.
So we know I'm excited for that, but also I'm heavily skeptical. I'm like, I don't know jack shit that could be slipstream that would make any sense in a Call of Duty universe, but also it's Sledgehammer that are the developers. I don't have a lot of faith in them either.
Yeah, so. they haven't made the best ones.
They've got some bumps in their highway.
Yeah.
So who knows? We'll be surprised. Nobody gave a fuck what I just talked about. I'm not talking about COD anymore. You can continue. Everybody's like fast forwarding. Cole's talking about COD.
Yeah, it's like me talking about wrestling.
Yeah, kind of.
Just zone out.
It's fair.
So reviews?
Yeah.
All right. First game to talk about tonight is called Metro Exodus, developed by 4A Games. This with a number 4, not the word 4. Published by Deep Silver, released June 18th on Xbox Series X and S and PS5 for $39.99. The Gold Edition with the DLC is $64.99. Flee the shattered ruins of the Moscow Metro and embark on an epic continent-spanning journey across the post-apocalyptic Russian wilderness. Explore vast non-linear levels, lose yourself in an immersive sandbox survival experience, and follow a thrilling storyline that spans an entire year in the greatest Metro adventure yet. Cole, it's making its debut on current-gen consoles, looking all pretty and shiny. What do you think of it?
Holy shit, this game looked incredible. When did Metro Exodus originally come out?
I don't look it up. February 2019.
Okay, so it's had 2 years worth of work attached to it. Yeah, it shows. I remember thinking that when Metro Exodus originally came out, and I didn't play it on launch, but I remember thinking when it came out that I was like, holy shit, that's a good looking game.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't think that there was a lot of room for improvement, but it looks better. And I was so surprised. You're supposed to play the game stealthy, but I just kept randomly walking up to things and looking at them and then getting caught and having to shoot somebody and go into a battle. Thankfully, I know I do shit like that, so I was playing on what they call reader difficulty, which is basically story mode, so like shit dies in one hit. It's really easy. You kind of barely even need to aim. It's just like, it's for idiots like me who just get lost wandering around looking at things. Hallelujah for that, by the way.
Yeah, more games need that. I like that. Reader mode.
The moment that there's anything that's resembling a story difficulty, I'm in. You sold me. I'm there. Because I got a lot of shit to do, and I don't want to get stuck. There are people who don't mind dying to the same boss 900 times, but that ain't me.
Yeah.
And so I just want to do it and go. And just get to experience it. So I'm always appreciative when that's the thing. So I did, in full disclosure, I played it on pussy mode. I don't have any shame about it. Even still, the reader difficulty, like, it's supposed to make it so that there's an abundance of ammunition and materials for crafting and stuff. There were still actually quite a few times where I kind of struggled and was like, I need more ammo. And I would be trying to shoot a horde of enemies coming at me because I don't know how to be stealthy to save myself. and then I would be like, click, click, nothing's happening. And you still, even with it being on an easy difficulty like that, you still have to be concerned with, like, cleaning your guns, or they'll jam up on you, and you know, putting gun parts together that are going to make your gun be more efficient and effective. So there's still an air of difficulty. It's not a complete cakewalk. I can't just stroll around in this apocalyptic wasteland and not get radiated or whatever. It's not God mode.
Yeah.
There's still a challenge. Yeah, there's still a challenge, but it's a well-balanced challenge. And generally, if I fucked up, it was my own fault. because I was expecting it to be even easier than it was, to be fair. So you're playing as a character named Atrium, and he's one of the few who believes that there's still life outside of the metro tunnels that everybody has set up in following nuclear fallout. So he's like damned and determined to go to the surface. And he gets to the surface, gets on a train with his army of people. There's a few. His father-in-law, who is a pissy, hateful, crotchety fucker that doesn't want him to do anything and like super babies his daughter, which is a huge pain in the ass. And if I'm going to be honest, a little piece of me was like, I think this story would have been better from Anna's perspective of her telling everybody to fuck off. But it is what it is. She does tell everybody to fuck off, and I love that for her. But Atrium, they went the route of like the silent protagonist though. And at times it can feel like there's a little bit of lull in the story. And the story also suffers a little bit from what I call they're telling instead of showing, where there's things that they could just be like building the story up with action, but they're just having people tell you around you instead of letting you actually see what happened.
Yeah.
I assume that's probably a budget thing that happens, and it's fine. But there are just a few moments where I was like, I would have rather seen that than just been told it. The world is open world, and this may be my biggest struggle. I need waypoints, and I need some kind of way to like check what I'm supposed to be doing when missions pop up on your map, because somebody will tell you. They'll pop up and like there'll be an indicator on the map, like, oh, if you down here you need to go rescue the teddy bear, or over here you need to pick up a guitar from bandits, right? And that's all well and good, but like there's no way to choose which mission you're actively working toward. So the compass on your wristwatch always points to the main story mission. And if you're trying to go do those side quests, you have no guidance at all. So it just led to a lot of me walking a few steps, checking the map. Walk a few steps, check the map. I would have liked to have been able to choose which mission I wanted to be guided for. Or, you know, some kind of like compass. I get the whole point of like a minimal HUD. And the HUD that we did have was kind of fun because like you have to wipe the water off of your face or you're in the fog. You have to literally just press left bumper to swipe it off, because sometimes you just can't see. There's too much shit. Or if your visor gets cracked and damaged, like there was one point I couldn't see the whole corner of the screen because he'd used duct tape to tape over a hole in his visor. And I was like, that's really well done. But also, maybe we could have at least given me a compass at the top so I could see where I'm going. putting it on his hand and stuff. I like the integration of that it was this on his watch and stuff. But it wasn't particularly practical. And sometimes you gotta go for practicality over design. Since we also had the DLC, there were two DLC. It was kind of hard for me to judge where the DLCs were starting and stopping. One of them though was way more linear than the other, but it let you see a story and actually take over a character other than Atrium. That one you could tell where it started and stopped because you're playing as somebody else for a change. But that was a nice change of pace, in that it just kind of like, it was like, no, we're going this way. We're experiencing this now with this person. And also that character talked. So hallelujah to him. Atrium never says a fucking word for 40 hours. And then Sam speaks and you're like, wait, he could have been talking to me the whole time. But yeah, overall, I had a really good time with the game. I enjoyed it more than I thought I would, but I think that was basically attributed to the fact that I was expecting it to be more difficult, and when I got into it and was actually able to play it on a lower difficulty and just freely fuck up, I felt a little more invested in, like, I can take my time with this and play it the way that I wanted to.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And it's worth playing, it sounds like.
It was. I want to go play more and try to knock out some of those side quests. I just would like to be able to pick them out specifically.
I will laugh so hard if we get a message back. It's like, oh, yeah, all you got to do is click this on the...
It's probably... I know you can bring up the map, and, like, they're there, but I can't find anywhere. That was my other beef, too, was, like, you don't interact with people to get a story or a side quest. It's like you walk up to people who are talking and you listen in and then pick up and then decide you're going to go do that quest. Or they'll say, hey, while you're going that way. But, like, you can't go up to them and press A. So sometimes you may miss important information because you're walking by and you're like, oh, shit, no, they have a side quest. I need to go back. Mm. And you might miss some important information. And then, like, it shows up on your map. And I'm like, cool, I don't know what I'm supposed to do there.
Oh, boy. Well, $40 on Metro Exodus. What are you thinking?
I do think it's worth it, especially if you haven't played it. Dive into it. Even though I have the other Metro games, and I haven't played those either, because that's what I do. And even still, I was able to, like, get into the world and understand what was going on, and I didn't have any trouble with it at all. I think I liked it better than I expected.
Nice. Yeah. And it's gorgeous.
It's really pretty. Like, as pretty as an apocalyptic wasteland where giant catfish are lurching out of the sea to eat you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously. There's, you know, qualifiers when you say that. But.
Radiated catfish.
Yeah. All right. Next game to talk about is called Sea of Thieves, A Pirate's Life, code provided to us by Microsoft. So thank you to them for that. Developed by Rare, published by Xbox Game Studios, A Pirate's Life released June 22nd for Sea of Thieves as a free update. Sea of Thieves is available on Xbox and PC for $39.99. Sea of Thieves offers the essential pirate experience, from sailing and fighting to exploring and looting, everything you need to live the pirate life and become a legend in your own right. With no set roles, you have complete freedom to approach the world and other players however you choose. Cole, we've discussed this game a lot of times on the show. You play it a lot.
I do. I like to fish.
How's the Disney update?
This is the closest to PvE we're ever going to get, and it still misses a little bit of a mark. The gameplay and the tall tale that you carry on with for A Pirate's Life, fucking phenomenal. The enemies that they have added, the fight with the sirens, I'm not going to give away too much, but there's, like, this epic fight with sirens, and it's all underwater, and it's so much fun. But if you reach the area for the Tall Tale quest, they're all designated around the map. They're marked. You have to vote with your crew that you're going to go do it, because that's the way Sea of Thieves works. You get there, and then you will start the quest. Because it's open, anybody can start it, right?
Okay.
And there's nothing to stop you from starting the quest when other people are already there. To an extent. If you go... The first Tall Tale is, like, entirely self-contained as a PvE thing, and you will never run into anybody else while you're doing that one. Even if other people sail right into the same portal as you, you won't see them while doing that quest. That's great. Okay?
Yeah, I wish there was more stuff like that in Sea of Thieves.
But the second quest has a series of checkpoints and locked doors. Now, if somebody is doing the Tall Tale and you happen to roll up on them, their area of the tale that they are working on is typically sealed off with, like, these water walls. And then there will be something that you need to shoot, but it won't let you activate or shoot it until the other team is done with the tale.
All right.
That can be nice. However, that also leads to issues, because they can still come back and forth through that wall. And they 100% have been times where I tried to play the second tale and another team would just be sitting at the door where we couldn't go through, they could go back and forth. They just sit there and kill us through the wall that we couldn't cross repeatedly. And of course, you spawn, that's a checkpoint. So the checkpoint siren is there. That's where you spawn back at. So they, you don't even get to have control of your character to react in any kind of way. They're just spawn killing you. And they don't even get anything from it. That's the thing that bothers me about Sea of Thieves, that people will grief you like that. And they're not even benefiting from it. Like, they can't. Your ship is separate from where the mission is at, so they can't steal anything from your ship. The only thing they're doing is preventing you from progressing.
So they're being dickheads just to be dickheads.
And they will sit and do it. There was one night we sat and worked on it for over an hour and never got to progress. So we finally gave up. Fuck it. We server swapped, went through, started it over, and we got to the last part of the mission, and it glitched on us.
Oh, no.
And when I say it glitched, like, you have to walk up. I'm trying not to give spoilers, but you have to walk up on this boat wreck and use the cannons to shoot at a boss. And we would walk up the rocks, jump over onto the boat, and fall all the way down and die. Spawn again, walk up the rocks, jump over to the boat, fall through the boat, fall all the way down. Die. Over and over and over. So eventually we just gave up. I have never completed the second Tall Tale. Thankfully, man. I played with somebody who had done the rest of the game, and we did the rest of the game. So I went ahead and did the other tales. Didn't have as much trouble with those. Now, I'm fussing about it, but I have to be honest and say, Rare's doing a really good job with the updates. Like, they're throwing them out left, right, and center. The first
and
time,
Sea of Thieves has been out for a few years now, and they've been supporting it,
yeah,
healthily.
I mean, the first day it came out, we played it. We had issues with the Tall Tale with those glitches. Literally woke up 3 hours later and saw a tweet where they were like, "Hey, we took servers down. We fixed it. Go." So then, of course, later that day, I did it again, and that was when we started getting griefed. So it may be fixed and not have the glitches that it had, because, like I said, they were quickly dropping servers, hot patching,
no,
and going at it again. Kudos to them for that. But the griefing is definitely something they should look into. And to an extent, people are like, "Oh, that's the spirit of Sea of Thieves. That's what, you know, we're playing it for." And it's like, it feels so much like they finally went, "We hear you want a PvE. This is the best we can do."
No.
And still, people found ways to break it, because these people are breaking the rules. Like, there was one part where there was literally just a door, and we were on one side, and as soon as they finished their mission, that door would drop. But instead, they were using a pulley to open the door just enough that they could shoot us. Like, come on. You know? Fuck off. And, you know, you would try to communicate and be like, "We're just waiting to finish the Tall Tale. Leave us alone." And then they would just laugh about it and keep doing it, because that's the kind of assholes that have found themselves taking over Sea of Thieves in an extent. And I just wish I'd give anything where they would just finally go, "You want to do a private run? Here's a private run." They could set it up very much, even if it was like, you don't get gold or you don't get the renown or whatever. Fuck it. Some of us just want to actually see the Tall Tales.
Yeah, and play the game.
Yeah, they've added so much content that is just out of reach for more casual players, and that's a shame.
Yeah. Well, the Pirate's Life update is a free update, so checking it out seems like a no-brainer if you have the game.
Yeah.
But if you aren't already on board with Sea of Thieves, is it worth the $40?
It depends on your tolerance for griefing assholes. Or if you are a griefing asshole, right? Like, if you're like, "I just want to go be a dick to people," then here you go. It's the game for you. But if you're like me and you want that PvE kind of experience, it's a little more of a try it. One of the things that I often do when it comes to Sea of Thieves is, like, I love to play it, but the moment people start fucking with me, I just turn it off.
Yeah.
Like, Stude and I sat there the other night and fished for like 3 hours and nobody bothered us and we had a great time. And then the moment we saw another boat, we were like, yep, going to bed. Good night. Bye. Just turned it off. And I don't want to fuck with it. So if you prefer a PvE type of experience, just know that sometimes you're just not going to get the opportunity to play the PvE stuff.
No. All right. Well, next game to talk about is called Worms Rumble, developed and published by Team 17, released June 23rd on Xbox One and Switch for $14.99, previously available on PlayStation. Worms Rumble is Worms like you've never played it before, with intense real-time arena-based 32-player cross-platform combat. Get ready for deathmatch and last worm standing modes where you're only ever a holy hand grenade away from death. Cole, tell us about your time with Worms Rumble.
I know shit about Worms. Jack shit. I've never played any other Worms game, but this basically is a Worms game made for me. Just hardcore, like, do you want to go and shoot shit out of people and make them respawn and repeatedly and then sit there and fuck up their world with hand grenades every chance you get? And I'm like, yes, I do. And so that's what Worms still lets you do. I will say, I was disappointed that there is a level lock on the last worm standing modes. Those are basically like battle royales, but you have to play the TDM or the deathmatch in order to unlock those. So that's a bit of a disappointment, because it's like, I mean, it's relatively low. It's like level 5 and level 10, I think, respectively for them. But at the same time, it was like, come on. I don't want to play with a team that's going to go and sit in a gas and get their killing done and not care. I want to actually, because the areas of the map that you cannot be in for that particular battle are locked off with gas fumes. You can take a risk and take a little bit of damage and go through the gas to get somewhere else, but most times you're just going to end up dead. And a good chunk of my time was teammates who didn't realize the gas was going to kill them and would just go sit in it.
Yay.
And keep exploring despite there was being gas. And you're like, you're obviously taking damage. Fucking go somewhere else. Please. And then they would die, and they'd be like, I don't know why I keep dying. you know, because that's what happens when it comes to shooter games. There's always people who are sabotaging their teammates. So I would have liked to just been able to anyway, I would have been happier if I could just jump in and, like, play any of the modes and not had to worry about it. Because who the fuck cares if somebody goes and sits in the gas and kills themselves when it's last man standing, right?
Yeah.
you just made it easier on me. Thank you. Have a nice day. the actual gameplay is super fun. The concept is that it's almost like a 2D platformer, but you are constantly shooting the other team. One of my biggest gripes is that some of the arena block-offs are far too large for the number of people you're allowed to have on the smaller team deathmatch type of modes. And this meant that there were a couple of games where I played where the other team would just hide and you couldn't find them. And you would there was one match where it was like 10 to 7. And the other games were going like 30 and 40 kills. And this one was 10 to 7 because these guys, there are certain areas of the maps where like it's a container or a tunnel or whatever. And you can't see into it unless you're in it. So the other team would just go find one of those to sit in and hide and not get killed.
Fun.
And it's like, come the fuck on. The radar, there's a radar. But if you're in that tunnel, you don't show up. And so that's just what they would do. I guess you could say it was smart, but it was also bullshit. Because camping is for Call of Duty. And even then, you're going to get bitched at for it. Don't be camping in Worms, for crying out loud. My biggest gripe, though, if I'm honest, is that it's a little too zoomed out. and your worm is awful tiny. And I was playing on the computer monitor, and I don't have a small monitor. I have a 32-inch and a 24-inch. And the 24-inch is 1440p. And I was playing on the PC because I was actually trying out xCloud just for fucks and giggles, right?
Okay.
And so I was trying it on xCloud. The girls were on the Xbox. And my, like I said, my biggest gripe, even with it full screen, was that it was just so zoomed out that it could be really hard to see, like, when you were picking up different items and stuff. Yeah. Maybe if I'd been playing it on the big TV, it wouldn't have been as big of an issue.
It might have been a little more. Worms games traditionally are played zoomed out anyway.
Yeah. And I get to an extent that it needed to be, so you could see, like, where the enemies were coming from and stuff. You obviously don't want somebody sneaking up immediately behind you if they could have just moved the screen out an inch, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, it was like, I can't see what gun I just picked up until I switch to it and shoot it. And so there was a lot of like guessing and shit. Like, I don't know if I'm going to kill this guy if I pull this trigger, but here we go.
Time to find out.
Yeah. There's only two options here. Either I kill them or they kill me, huh?
Yeah. Shoot or run.
But the actual like platforming around, using the grapple guns to move around the verticality of the maps, I really liked all of that. It was just that it was kind of hard to focus on what was happening. I lost my worm a lot. That bitch is yellow with hot pink triangles on it, and I still kept losing it on the map.
Oh, man. Well, the game's $15. It is also available as part of Xbox Game Pass.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on it?
If you are hesitant, you should at least try it out on Game Pass. You have no excuse. Try it out. But if you are already a Worms fan, if you, or if you just really want an interesting take on a shooter where you have to have platforming elements and stuff too, then I think it's playable and it plays well, and you should buy it.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, we have a bunch of twos to talk about. You ready?
Yeah.
First up is Flatland Volume 2, developed by Minimal Games, published by Cubite Interactive, released June 29th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, and PS5 for for
$3.99. Whoa!
This is a cheaper one. $3.99, not $30 anything. $3.99.
You got me with that one. I was like, I had a very high feelings about the game, and then I really enjoyed it.
$30, no
and
way.
My value was like,
yes, $3.99. Fast-paced hardcore platformer game featuring handcrafted levels and lightning-fast respawns helps Square in crossing the most dangerous part of Flatland, the flooded wells. Cole, tell us about Flatland Volume 2.
So this is a very vibrant neon platformer, and it's fast and hard as fuck. You need to control a little square, and basically you're just clearing obstacles. You'll start off in the beginner levels, and you're just like jumping over ravines as you do. And then eventually there's spikes, and then there's swinging things that will send you to Kingdom Come. It's not something I would say is groundbreaking for the genre, but if you like this genre, as I do, then you're not going to be disappointed with the game. Because sometimes you don't need all the bells and whistles. Sometimes you just need to jump fast, die, respawn, and do it again.
You're going to die a lot.
You're going to die a lot. It was funny because I saw the achievement for 100 deaths, and I was like, oh, I should probably just find some spikes and fall onto them and get that out of the way real quick. And then I thought, nah, it's too early to be grindy with this. Let's just see what happens. Yeah, let's let
it happen naturally.
Level 4. Boink, 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 boink. Fuck me running. There's also a bonus level. I think it's in every level. There may be one or two that didn't have one, or I just didn't see it. But there are bonus levels as well. So you can go through this little portal and do another level parallel to the one that you were just playing. Man, some of those bonus levels can full on break your brain for how you need to navigate them. They're really creative.
That's where all the achievements are too.
Fucking hard. Man, what a challenge. But it was fun trying, and it's one of those games where I'm like, I'm going to sit down and I'm probably going to die a fuck ton, but I'm going to spend maybe 15, 20, 30 minutes rolling through as many levels as I can, and I'm going to put it away so I don't get too mad. But I like having those kind of games around. Yeah, I like having those kind of games around. They're just, sometimes you need a break between everything else, but you still want something a little higher speed. Not every break needs to be a visual novel that you can skip. So it's nice to have that change of pace that's still high pace.
Yeah. Well, it is only $4. What do you think?
Yeah, I give it a buy it. It's good. It plays well. It controls fine. I don't have any gripes. It's just hard.
The visuals are nice. I like the neon glowy look to it.
Yeah.
Always good. All right, next game, next two to talk about is Butterfly 2, developed by Grin Robot, published by Zetalon, released June 29th on Xbox for $4.99. The second part of the platformer puzzle game Butterfly, a caterpillar's adventure on the quest of getting butterfly wings. Enjoy 40 new challenging levels with pixel graphics and new enemies. Cole, tell us about Butterfly 2. Well, technically, we covered this one with Chris a couple of weeks back when it launched on Windows 10. This and Smart Moves 2, the next game we're talking about, are both debuting on Xbox now.
Yeah.
We covered the general gameplay. Do you want to give us a quick wrap up of how the game works? And then just, we're here for the achievements. We know what's going on.
You can't jump. Okay. You're a caterpillar, but you can't jump. So basically, it's a platformer where in order to reach the different platforms, you either need to use pipes to zoom back up to the top, or you need to like leap off, just kind of walk off the edge of a platform and kind of do it at just enough of an angle that you'll like bounce off the top of a bee or another enemy and get propelled back up elsewhere. So it's basically just puzzle platforming where the quirk is you can't jump. It's very simple, but it takes its premise and it does it well. The level design is really creative. There were a few I actually had to try again. Thankfully, they put in just quick retry and press Y, start it over if you fuck up. Always on board for that. Interestingly enough, I thought some of the earlier levels were the ones that I fucked up on more. And some of the later levels were the ones where I was like, this should have been a beginner level. Even though they were more complicated and had more flowers, like it was probably just a case of I have adjusted to the rules enough now.
Yeah.
But at that point I was like, why did I try 17 times on level 8 and now level 18 I'm like boing, 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 boing. I don't know. You don't even have to play that far for achievements. I was just having fun and kept
going. What is it? First 10 levels again?
Yeah, if even that, I think. But yeah, you just play through a few of the levels.
It might be the first 15 levels because our friend Zetalon just released title updates for 17 games, upping their gamer score by 1,000 each.
It's like 20,000 gamer score you can get now off of just this list of games. And it's not even the whole Zetalon catalog, but I went through last night and was reinstalling a bunch of the ones I had. And I was like, I know they're getting updates soon.
Get those points.
Yeah. I'll touch on that in the next game we're going to talk about, by the way.
All right. Well, Butterfly's $5. Butterfly 2 is $5. What do you think of it?
Fuck it. Why not?
Snap makes them up, sense.
Get you some easy gamer score. They're fine. They're not bad. They're not offensive, which is funny because I'd heard some people gripe about them and say they thought they weren't good. But I didn't find them bad or offensive in any way. It was just like, yeah, this is a pretty neat concept. Let's go.
Yeah, I thought it was charming. I wasn't as big a fan of Synchro Hedgehogs because it took the same formula and had you control the two hedgehogs at once, which
I haven't played that one yet.
Oh, I am not a fan of that gimmick, but okay. Butterfly and Butterfly 2 I was cool with. So $5, yeah, I'm down with that.
Yep.
The next game is Smart Moves 2, developed by Grin Robot, published by Zetalon, released June 29th on Xbox for $4.99. Smart Moves 2 is a pixel art puzzle game with turn-based combat mechanics. Each level is a puzzle with its own logical solution. To move to a new level, you just need to open all the chests. Cole, tell us mm-hmm. about Smart Moves 2.
You're going to get a completion
in 2 minutes.
You even get to the second level. If you want to, I will say, hey, over Smart Moves 1, they added, new enemies and stuff. Cause again, I'm not totally terrible. I play past just the achievement part. When I'm reviewing things, I need to be fair about it. So yeah, there is more game. Go explore it. It's not bad. I appreciate that they have the checkpoint system. You can just die and fuck up all you want as long as you got that checkpoint. Okay, let's try again. And I am the queen of, hey, give me checkpoints. So here we are.
Yeah.
The games like this generally don't have that. And I appreciate it. The quick restart, I appreciate it. I would say I have one request for the Smart Moves dev. I think they could improve their game monumentally if instead of immediately moving, when you choose, because it uses this grid system and your sprite moves along this grid, instead of automatically moving, push a direction and then let you confirm that direction. Because this would give them the option to add in to show if an enemy is going to attack you first or if you're going to get that first hit. Because sometimes you can make the same move, and I had the same complaint about the first Smart Moves. You can make the same move over and over and it will work 1 out of 10 times. And I would just like if it would slow it down just a smidge, add in that confirmation and let me see. Am I, like, make the monster glow green if I'm going to hit it and make it glow red if it's going to hit me. And then put in a colorblind option, because that's going to be necessary too. Because some people can't see the difference between green and red. But, you know, just something as simple as letting me see if my move is going to work or not would up the quality of these games so much. Other than that,
get achievements.
$5. And here's where I wanted to point out the achievement thing. This game came out on Xbox on June 29th. I completed it. I uninstalled it on July 1st. Got a second 1,000 via title update. And I put my hands in the air and I said, I haven't even got to turn in the review for this one yet. And I got to go reinstall it and get the extra 1,000.
Yes, you do. And you
I'm
got
not
it
mad.
In two
I'm
minutes.
Not mad. Not mad. I did. The funny part was, because I had already played ahead, the achievements popped retroactively, so I didn't even have to do anything.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
All right.
I just
launched
it.
Well, one final game to talk about tonight is some DLC for Graveyard Keeper, Game of Crone, developed by Lazy Bear Games, published by Tiny Build, released June 22nd on Xbox, Switch, and PlayStation for Graveyard Keeper for $9.99. You'll have to help the escape prisoners of the Inquisition survive in the wilderness by providing them with everything they need to develop their camp to a fortified settlement while keeping in mind its benefits to protect those who entrusted you with their lives from the sword and fire, and also to untangle the circumstances of the cruel game, which turned into a great blast in the return of the ancient curse. Oh, what is going on in Game of Crone?
I fucking love Graveyard Keeper. One of my favorite elements to Graveyard Keeper is it does not matter how far into the game you are. Once you buy a DLC and unlock it, you have access to it immediately. So I've played a lot of Graveyard Keeper nonetheless, but I still haven't managed to finish a single fucking thing in it because there's so much to do. And the moment I was just creeping through the woods doing my graveyard shit, and I thought, oh, I'm gonna have to push the story along or something probably to actually see any of this DLC. I should have known better because I didn't have to with the other ones. But no, here we are. And I'm like, I think I'm going to have to move the story along. And then I just stumble upon tents in the wilderness that's full of aristocrats who are being chased by the Inquisition, and now you gotta help them.
Yay!
I would like to say kudos to the dev team for just fucking going ahead and making this a fast travel place. So you can use the teleportation stone and get there at the drop of a hat.
That's good.
I love that they did that. I wish they would put a teleportation place in the swamp. Why they don't, I don't understand. It's the only place I have to walk 74 years to get to. Everything in Graveyard Keeper is just huge and sprawled out, by the way. That's why I complain about that. If you haven't played this game, prior to the inclusion of the teleportation stones, you just spent 90% of your time walking around doing shit. Walking so you could go do shit. Oh, I'm going to cut down this tree. Let me walk forever to take it back home. Now, thankfully, there's a lot more automation. They've had time to work on it, and they've done it well. And, like, you have the zombies and everything that can carry shit for you. Might be a little dubious to be bringing people back from the dead to make them haul lumber for you, but that's where we are with this game.
Yeah, you got
to
do what you got to do.
Yeah, it's better than me lobbing it from across the map, so I'm not mad. So yeah, at least they made this the aristocrats camp a fast travel point, and so you can actually get there a lot quicker. There was definitely a lot of back and forth if you didn't have that teleportation stone, because most of what you're doing is like basically rebuilding your own setup, but building it in this camp. You do need a few more high-end materials that you're not going to have right away. So even if you like buy the game and start from scratch and you have all that DLC, you are going to have to work your way up to some of the materials and through some of the other NPC interactions before you can actually make the most out of the Game of Crone DLC. But that's okay, because what's the point of rushing?
Yeah.
and once you have the teleportation stone, you're still going to like shave off a lot of that time anyway. You can tell I love that stone. but you will need to first off, you have to keep them fed and you have to provide them water. These are aristocrats and they will not do shit for themselves. So I really hope you enjoy cooking a whole lot of glazed carrots and then just dumping them in a storehouse and coming back 2 days later after you were doing all the other shit you got to do because Graveyard Keeper keeps you busy, and then seeing that they ate all of your shit and did nothing. They do nothing. You just have to keep them happy.
Yay.
It's so stressful. You have to keep them happy and you have to keep them safe. And like, I'm pretty sure somebody was like, hey, can we get pets in Graveyard Keeper? And they were like, how about aristocrats that need to be taken care of?
Close and we enough. Were like,
that's what it feels like. Oh, we need a fence. Oh, we need a house. Oh, we need... They won't do shit of that by themselves. Like, you're sitting there going, you're in the fucking woods. Go chop a tree your damn self. It's still a lot of fun, though. And I really like the overall tone. Like, it just fits in. It fits in the story. It just seems like something that's perfectly plausible to happen in this universe. And it's... I love the fact that my zombies are lugging logs right past them and they don't even notice. They have no care in the world that my little zombies are just like, I get so tickled watching the zombies because like they have their little arms running out in front of them and they're running, and they got the backpack with the logs and stuff and right past the aristocrats, and the aristocrats are just like, so we're out of wine.
Well, it sounds like you enjoyed your time with Game of Crone. So $10 on this DLC. What do you think?
I think it's definitely a buy it. There's an Ultimate Edition. If you don't have any of the Graveyard Keeper, don't have the base game or any of the other DLCs, just buy that Ultimate Edition and get it all because you're going to love it.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I got one more review I got to take care of with Jacob, and I know you don't want to be there for it, so I guess I'll let you get going.
Also, it's hot, and I have my air conditioner off, and like the boob sweat's real, so we're getting out of here.
Titty sweat. All right. You got any final words?
Swamp tits are bad.
All right, and final game to talk about tonight is called Arkhan, the Dog Adventurer, developed by Madao Studio, published by Sometimes You, released June 30th on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and PS5 for $4.99. A unique, explosive mixture of platformer and Arkanoid. Hit the ball, move around, jump, smash the bricks, destroy the enemies, destroy everything destroyable. Checking this one out. Jacob Garner, how are you doing?
I'm here. No longer sick with a cold, which we thought might have been COVID, but thankfully it's just a shitty summer cold.
Yay! How's Arkhan?
I'd have cotton swabs up my nose again.
Yay!
Yay! How's Arkhan?
Hey, it's been a long show. We got to get this shit going.
All right. Well, fine. So it's as the game description says, it's an Arkanoid platformer. Mashup, which is a really interesting combination. And what it is you have one side of the screen that you're allowed to play on and all the enemies and blocks that you have to destroy on the other one. And you have this ball, which coincidentally looks a little bit like a tennis ball, that you can fling wherever. And then you have this like staff sword thing that helps you like launch it back at, the blocks or the enemies after they bounce back and stuff like that. The first couple levels are really just, you know, to get you used to the controls and stuff like that and how to direct the ball. The slow-mo power, which you have, which of course slows down time, so you can have a better reaction against your enemies and move around a little bit quicker and stuff like that. And then the game really ramps up its difficulty, which, in all reality, it's not that difficult. It's just some levels are going to be easier to get 3 stars on than other ones, but you should really be able to get through every single level like with minimum 1 star. And so as it goes on, like, you start having these different enemies that shoot like little balls at you, that shoot like actually things that will like seek you out, which were kind of cheap and annoying, but whatever. And yeah, it's just, it's Arkanoid, and you hop around on platforms to, you know, make your ball fly a lot quicker. One of the things I was a little surprised by is that the enemy projectiles, you can't fling those back.
I know. Every time I saw someone playing this game, I would see the enemy projectiles. I'm like, why can't you just hit those back? They look like balls that you would hit back in Arkanoid. By the way, can I get this out of the way? Why isn't this game called Barkanoid?
Why isn't this what?
Arkanoid.
Oh, Barkanoid.
Yeah.
I like the idea. I like the name for that, but I'm going to assume that there's probably some legal issues tied in with that.
I'm sure parody laws would get around that.
Maybe. But yeah, like, I was a little miffed at first about, like, you know, the enemy projectiles not being able to be flung back. But at the same time, it does create a level of... you know, of difficulty to it, you know, by making it something that you must dodge instead of something that you could just fling back. And honestly, it might be a little bit too difficult to keep track of, like, your ball versus the enemy projectiles, which, you know, if they came back, your ball doesn't hurt you, you know?
No.
Like, the enemy projectiles would. So maybe, perhaps, that was, like, too much to balance. But all in all, it's a pretty quick game. You should be able to get all the achievements like within 4 hours tops.
Not bad.
I would say, yeah, it's not bad. It's like, if you're an achievement hunter, it's a fairly easy 1000. I haven't completed it yet, but I know like there are plenty of people who have. And yeah, it's a fun game for $5. I'd recommend it.
Cool. So your official verdict at $5?
Yeah, definitely. Cool. It's a fun challenge that was a nice break from most of the other stuff that I usually review, and also like with Mass Effect 2 that I just beat. It was a nice little palate cleanser from everything that I've usually been playing. Nice. So yeah, definitely check it out.
Cool. And again, they should have called it Barkanoid. Like, they really, really should have called it. Like,
maybe that's what the sequel could be called.
Maybe. To bark to noid.
To bark to noid. Barkanoid 3 Tokyo Drift.
Yes. 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 Oh my god, yes. Barkanoid 3 Tokyo Drift. That should be the second game.
Everyone, like, 20 years from now, everyone's going to be looking for the second game that doesn't actually exist. You know, everyone's confused why there was only Barkanoid 3 Tokyo Drift.
I love it. I love it. Oh my god. All right, Madao Studios, you know what you got to do. All right, but that is the end of this episode. Made it through another one. Thanks, Jacob, for being here to help wrap up the show. Thanks to Cole and Aki for being here, doing what they had to do. Music, going to play some more from Blind, because it's good stuff, and we got a lot of new music from Blind to play, so I'm going to play it. What do you think of that?
Are you asking me?
Yes.
Oh, I mean, I don't have any issues with Blind. I mean, yeah, go ahead and play it.
I will.
It's your show. I mean, I can't recall the last time that you've given a shit as to my opposition on something.
True. You have any final words?
No. I was really trying to think of something, but nah, I got nothing.
You suck. We'll be right back.
devil's nightshades.